Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The most crucial concept to master when it comes to profiting in both bull and bear markets is to determine what the second derivative of inflation is doing. That is how I built my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. And I didn't just come up with this idea last night. It took me several decades to develop and hone the strategy. Is it perfect? No. But it goes a long way towards ensuring retirement success in the long run. I've launched the portfolio since 2016. It tends to not lose money in bear markets, and it tends to participate on the upside in bull markets. That's the history. And when you ask yourself, why is the inflation-deflation dynamic so important? It's because during deflations, investors get wiped out in nominal terms in their investments. Whereas in periods of stagflation or intractable inflation or even hyperinflation, investors get destroyed in real terms of purchasing power, but not in nominal terms necessarily. For example, the average decline for the S&P 500 during deflationary recessions is 37%. I look at the second derivative of inflation and deflation in the context of economic growth. During the recessions of 2000 and 2008, the S&P lost 50% in nominal terms and about the same in real terms, but because of deflation, the decline in real terms was slightly less than 37%. In contrast, in terms of intractable inflation, stocks plunge in real terms, but display only a modest increase in nominal terms. For example, during the stagflationary period from 1965 all the way through 1982, the S&P gained 15% in nominal terms. Whoop-de-doo. Doesn't sound like a lot at all. It's very minimal gains, but you wouldn't have made money shorting the market. The market gained in those years in nominal terms. However, it dropped by 60% when adjusted for inflation in real terms. That is why it is vital not to short times when the market is rapidly rising, during times of rapidly rising inflationary environments, but rather own what is going up faster than inflation. And that's most typically base metals and energy and precious metals. Now, turning to the 10-year note, this is the first time in history that the 10-year note yield jumped by 100 basis points at the same time the Fed was lowering interest rates, the Fed funds rate, by 100 basis points. And when you see things like that, that the first time in history, the Fed thought it was a great idea to lower interest rates, took them down by 100 basis points, and yet the rest of the yield curve jumped higher. That screams to me insolvency and inflation concerns and illiquidity concerns have arrived. Very important for what I have to tell you in the rest of this podcast. But before I get to that, just to go over some data, continuing jobless claims, a proxy for the total number of people receiving unemployment benefits, rose to 1.91 million in the week ending December 14th. That's the last week that we had this information published. That was the highest level of continuous jobless claims in more than 3 years. So yes, the labor market is deteriorating. So while the mainstream financial media loves to highlight the relatively low weekly jobless claims report on initial claims, the truth is that those people that are getting laid off are finding it very difficult to find a job. That three-year high in ongoing claims doesn't help with the ability to afford a home, by the way. Rising mortgage rates don't help either. The U.S. homelessness rate in the U.S. has jumped 18.1% this year, hitting a record level, with the dramatic rise driven mostly by a lack of affordable housing. Isn't that so sad that our government thought it was a great idea to lower interest rates to such a dramatic degree that Wall Street pigs jumped in and bought up huge blocks of single family homes and then rented them out at exorbitant rates and made the homelessness rate the highest in recorded history. Very sad. Now, turning to the market, the top 10 stocks make up nearly 40% of the entire market capitalization. The top 10 stocks at the height of the tech bubble, for comparison, in 2000 made up just 26%. Narrow markets are very dangerous markets, and this is the most narrow market in history. Now, I reduced the long exposure in the portfolio last Friday for three reasons. Let me give you those reasons. Number one, the $2.5 trillion in the reverse repo facility has finally been exhausted. I predicted this would happen, earlier this year, but it's finally happened. It's done. The reverse repo facility is for all intents and purposes vacant. And this has been the fuel behind the stock and bond market energy since the middle of 2023. I shorted the market in 22. We saved ourselves from losing, we lost very little money, 3% in 2022 when the market was down 22. That's only because bonds crapped out, but stocks did very poorly in 22. And I thought that was going to continue into 23. But it was the reverse repo facility that began to be wound down from $2.5 trillion to basically $100 billion left now. That was the fuel, funding the bond market and funding stock bubbles and the gambling in Bitcoin and et cetera. But that is done. Number two, junk bond yields have begun to rise. As I explained last week, the spread has only moderately increased. But that has more to do with the behavior of treasury bonds rather than the quiescence in the junk bond market. To this point, the benchmark 10-year note has soared by 100 basis points, as I mentioned, in the past few months. It's now yielding above 4.6%, up from 3.6% on September 18th, the day the Fed panicked and cut rates by 50 basis points on the Fed funds rate, the overnight interbank lending rate. Despite of, or perhaps even because of, the Fed's rate cuts, the rise of Treasury yields across the yield curve are putting increased pressure on borrowing costs from autos to real estate and on corporations. And it's the fact that, people are looking at that spread between junk bonds and treasuries and says, oh, it's starting to spike up a little bit, but not really anywhere near a dangerous point. And they believe that's quiescence in the junk bond market. But if you just look at a chart of high yield bonds, they are soaring and prices are falling. So it's the fact that treasury bonds are rising along with junk bonds, which is making that spread look like it's quiescent, but it's really not telling the whole story. The story is that treasuries and junk bonds are now in trouble as you go out along the yield curve. Oh, and I'll throw in one more reason. Equity rebalancing from pension funds and mutual funds, etc., which should be selling stocks and buying short-term bonds now in the new year due to the record overvaluation of equities. So those are the reasons why at least for the start of the new year, I want to see how this trades. I want to see if the junk bond spreads continue to widen out. I want to see if junk bond yields continue to rise. I want to see what this illiquidity in the bond market really does, because in my opinion, it is very dangerous right now. And I sold stocks last week and stocks did not do well in the final week of trading. In fact, for the month, they lost about 3% in December. Now, does this mean I think the stock market is about to crash? No. Right now, the answer is no. But it does mean the risk-reward dynamic has skewed from being overly bullish. I was overly bullish up until the end of the year. Finished the year with a very nice, solid, high single-digit return. But it's now skewed to being slightly net long the market. We have record high valuations. That's been true for a while. And record low dividend yields and record low risk premiums. That means it's just not worth the risk of being in a 60-40 portfolio. In fact, although there may be a small single-digit gain in stocks that can be eked out over the next few months, the next major move in the averages should be to the downside. This is true since the liquidity vacuum should occur sometime in Q2 of 2025. As I said, the reverse repo facility has been drained, and the Treasury General account can only support liquidity for a few months at the start of the year. We will pay close attention to the direction of junk bond yields and financial conditions for the queue for us to take more hedges and more short positions if necessary. There remains, in my view, a tremendous amount of downside risk in the market, which we intend on capitalizing on for our clients. And we will use the same inflation-deflation economic cycle process to let us know when to get aggressively long the market in the right sectors and style factors, but only in the wake of the grand reconciliation of asset prices, which includes bonds, it includes equities, and it includes real estate. I would not be surprised if in the next few years, home prices in the United States drop between 20 and 25%. May God bless us all in the new year with the knowledge that we will have total peace as we rest in His divine providence in all that we do.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.